Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. I'm so happy that you're tuning in tonight. I want you all to be blessed by this song, I Am the Treasure. Stay tuned.
From the day I was born,
everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller. I hope all is blessed. I hope all is well with everyone. I'm so glad that you're tuning in to Dirty Church Radio. I just want to say thank you to everyone out there for the support, supporting the radio show, spreading the news about it. We've been having some great, wonderful people calling in, asking questions, making statements, giving points of views, dropping seeds of thoughts. And that's what we're all about here on Dirty Church Radio. So I just personally, as the host, just want to thank you for tuning in to the show. We started this show October 3rd. And so far, we have around 3,000 or more listeners. And I'm just so thankful right now that for everyone that's been tuning into this show, I believe we all been learning some things. We all been, our minds have been motivated to think. A few people, you know, I talked to, they say the show is helping them actually want to study more. They're looking forward to getting more information about life, about God, about mankind, so that they can actually try their best to better themselves within this world. And I believe that's what God truly calls for. us to become better human beings and to treat one another with respect, show love, and I believe that's what God truly requires of us. We understand here on Dirty Church Radio that no one is perfect. We don't claim to be perfect. We all have errors. We all have a past. We all have dilemmas. We've made mistakes. We've experienced failures in life. And I believe everything we go through is a learning tool. And I believe we need to actually start approaching life that way. Learn from what you do, whether it be negative or positive. But whatever you do, make it shape you into something better. I thank God, man, for Apostle Louis Young being part of this show. I thank God for Brother Aaron, who plays the role as the devil's advocate, Spradley on the show. And the show has really been actually just moving. We've been having some very interesting topics, and it really has been pushing us to actually study and to actually open our minds up wider to get a clearer understanding just about mankind and what mankind experiences all over this world. We, you know, there are people that live in other continents that we might ever, never go there. So we can never actually judge them according to how they were raised, what they went through. Their story is their story, and no one can tell that story better than them, just like no one can tell your story better than you because you've experienced it firsthand. So Dirty Church Radio just wants to appreciate everyone who has been involved, who has been showing their support and their love towards the show. And we thank you so, so, so very much for tuning in to Dirty Church Radio. Tonight I'm just going to start the show just with a little clip here that I have ran by. It says, generational curses. Have you ever seen a family where the father has a problem with uncontrollable anger? His son seems to have handled it, and the grandpa had the same problem. Or have you noticed that not only do you suffer from something such as persistent irritational fears or depression, but your mother and father also suffered from it as well? There are many people today who are living under bondage that the sins of their forefathers has brought them under. Exodus 34:7 reads, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting, punishing the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generations. Lamentations 5:7 reads, our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have bore, been punished for their iniquities. This is beyond learned behavior. Many children learn to be messy if their parents are messy. This is a spiritual bondage that is passed down from one generation to another. Some symptoms of a generational curse is continual negative pattern of something being handed down from generation to generation. Often people who are opt ended up with the same characteristics as their parents, not because they were around their birth parents to learn how they behave, but because they inherited their spiritual bondage. Some common symptoms of generational curses are family illnesses that seem to just walk from one person down to the next. It says that cancer is a common physical manifestation of a spiritual bondage or a continual financial difficulties. They continue to hit roadblocks in their finances, mental problems, persistent fears and depression, anything that seems to be persistent struggle or a problem that was handed down from one generation to another may very well be a generational curse. And I just wanted to just start the show just reading that. because that right there was from the thought of someone's mind. Someone thought that, and they wrote it down. And I just wanted to share that tonight on the show. And at this time, I'm going to let a co-host, Brother Aaron, the Devil's Advocate Spradley, on the show. What's going
How's
on, brother?
Going? How's everything?
Good, man. Good, man. How's everything with you?
Everything is awesome, like always. I enjoy life. I enjoy my wife, family, kids, and everything else in it.
That's great, man. That's so great. I was sitting here. I don't know how long you actually been listening.
For the whole time.
Oh, the whole time? Okay. Yeah, I was just on here tonight. You know, our topic tonight is generational curses. Do they exist? Do they exist? And tonight I'm hoping that we get people to call in and to ask questions or make statements. Do they feel that if there's a generational curse in their family, if there are, how do you break them? How do you get rid of them? We understand sometimes, more of a natural sense, someone may have been the first person to go to college in their family. And someone may look at that like, well, Dad, it's been a curse in our family when it comes to education. And we've never been able, no one ever has made it over that hump to actually go to college. And then all of a sudden, one of the family members, one of the children, actually make it to college. And in that whole family, that is such a great victory for that family. That brings them such a great feeling that they actually never felt before. So it all curses can be how you perceive them. Tonight we're going to talk about, you know, biblical curses. We understand even from Adam, if we're talking in the scriptures, that the Bible talks about all mankind have felt the result of Adam's sin. So it was passed down to mankind. So that's like a generational curse because we took on his sin. You understand what I'm saying, Mr. Adam?
Yeah, I definitely understand. I don't necessarily agree, but I definitely understand. I was born and raised being taught about generational curses. I'm not in particular saying that generational curses does not exist. There are many names for it. Religious people, especially Christians, talking from my own experience, we always believe that generational curses or traits or characteristics about ourselves or diseases that were passed down, inherited, we all believe that it came from a demon, basically, or something spiritual that was passed down from my grandmother to my father, to me, to my children. Religious terms look at it more on the sense of something spiritual. It's a demon that actually takes a hold to, an infant child, and this infant child carries this demon throughout their life, and when they have a child, it's carried to them until someone breaks that. That's not necessarily proven. It's something that you would have to believe, and I think that it's better ways to explain why people inherit certain traits, whether good or bad.
Okay. But we have another caller that's on the line, too. I'm going to let him on the line with us during this conversation.
Okay.
What's going on, Mr. Robinson?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
Good.
I see. I know you've been listening for a minute. Since one of the callers on the line with us. What you heard so far, do you have anything that you want to say concerning what was said or on the topic about generational curses?
Well, I mean, I definitely believe they exist because I don't know if you would call this a general curse, but when I was young, I remember a situation where the little boy used to come outside. Before the little boy, it was his uncle. He came to the closet. He's a homosexual, and found out later that the guy who came to the closet, his father was dipping, dabbing, you know, on the down low, you know. And then the little boy, his nephew, you know, he was about 5 or 6 years old, and we watched him as he grew up, and as he's growing up, he's had these feminine tendencies about him, and we kind of, you know, thought maybe he might be gay one day. And sure enough, when he got to be a teenager, he came out. You know, he was a homosexual. So that, to me, that was enough for me to believe that there was possibly a generational curse in the family would cause. Because I just thought it caused him to be that way. I just thought it was just really strange that from the grandfather to the son to the nephew, they were all you know, gay. You know, so I definitely believe that general curses exist. I mean, even in my family alone, you know, I have some things that you know, that nothing gay. I'm not gay at all. But things that I deal with, that I know that it's always down the line. You know, it's just something that you have to be conscious of and break those curses. Because if you don't, like, you're going to self inventory yourself. What am I doing wrong? You know, and analyze your life and figure out what am I doing wrong so you can break those curses. Because I think we all have something that we deal with in life. We all have something that we deal with. You know, Some choose to do it, and some choose just to go through life and say, okay, well, this is me, and that's that. And they accept it as being a part of their life. And it really is. It can be broken. You know, that's all pretty much what I got to say about generational curses. They do exist as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. We have another caller. I think it's Mr. X-Catholic. How you doing, man?
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. I'm actually in the same situation as last night, but I'm actually working on a car, but I called in just so I could be able to listen to the show on the phone. So I'm actually going to mute myself again.
Well, before you got off the show, before you mute yourself, is there anything that you want to say before you mute yourself concerning generational curses? Do they exist?
Oh, I'm actually just finding out the topic right now by calling in. So I'm going to think on that for a second.
Well, think on that for a second. When you mute yourself, even if you have to call back in, I'll see you when you call back in,
okay.
And then I'll know if you, like, I'm gonna let you on right then.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I kind of have to stay on the phone.
No,
so
what I'm saying, when you're ready to talk.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
When you're ready to talk, like, you know, just hang it up or unmute yourself and say something like, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Got you, man. All
right.
Our brother Aaron?
Yes, sir.
Our caller just said, do you have something you want to say towards that? I know you do.
No, I necessarily don't. Like I said before, I know we had a discussion concerning homosexuality. That's kind of a topic that is very hard to hit on because for some reason, people take that very they take that, you know, very personal. Whether they themselves are homosexual or whether they aren't, because that's such a very very strong topic. There isn't too much that I can say about that, but.
We're not actually going in the conversation about homosexuality. We're just talking about from
I know
like the actual curse. You know what I mean? Generational curses.
I know. I understand.
Whatever you know, from that angle.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, like I said earlier, I don't necessarily believe that a spirit is attached to traits and habits that we actually have. It's not something that you necessarily can prove. It's not something that you necessarily can measure, nor can you see it, nor can you weigh it. It's something more so based on belief. And dealing with that, it can go either way, depending on which religion or belief you follow. So that truth basically determines what religion you are. Like I said, when it comes to those type of things, I believe that we have better ways to explain traits that are passed down, things that are inherited from our parents, and nature versus nurture. I believe all of those things can explain better and help us deal with or fix that we think may be broken in our lives. I really do think that we have better means to explain and fix things to that extent.
Okay. We have another caller just came on right now. Hello, caller?
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm good, my brother.
That's good, man. Do you got anything you want to say about the topic? Do you know what the topic is?
I think your topic is generational curses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, hold up. This Apostle Louis Young?
At first, I didn't know who it was.
Yeah, you almost had me for a minute, but when I heard that,
I figured I'd go with it for a minute to see how long it was going to take for you to realize who it was.
He came on sounding like Pretty Tony for a second.
I hear you with the Well, Apostle, you know tonight's topic is generational curses. Do they exist? That was funny. You know what I mean? That would have been something if you would have came in that voice and we would have thought it was somebody else the whole time. And would have never been like, dang, Lou, you should have been on the line, man. Was this dude on there, man?
Then I'd be like, well, I was, my brother.
That was funny. Well, as the apostle on the show, since you just came on the line, I want to hear about generational curses.
All right. Well, first let me say grace and peace to all my brothers.
Grace and peace, sir. Grace and peace.
Or if it's some sisters on the line, grace and peace to you, too. Let me just dig right in. Generational curses, do I believe they exist? Yes. And the reason why I believe they exist is because when God put the curse that he put on Adam, that curse followed us from the time of Adam up until now. Now, what happens is we add to generational curses through culture, through society. You know, there's different ways where you can enhance an already placed generational curse. But to make it short and simple, generational curses exist because of the curse that God put on Adam. So you can say they don't exist, but biblically speaking, generational curses exist because of the fall of Adam. So that's my turn on it.
Okay.
Y'all got to catch me up to speed to what I missed.
No, you didn't miss that much. Let me ask you this question. Would you say that, because speaking from your own experience, would you say there has been or generational curses within your family that you've seen a consistent thing with individuals
yes.
in the family?
Yes, I'm not. There's no shame in my game. Anybody know me? You know my life is an open book. So, but one of the generational curses that I was trying to dissolve was the fact that all the males, just about all the males in my family, has been married more than once. So far, you know, to God be the glory. So far, my brother, my baby brother, seems to be on the right track to diminish that curse. Him and his wife are still together, going strong, and I constantly keep them in prayer that you know their marriage can survive, not just for their sake, but to dispel this here curse that's been running rampant in our family, where the men cannot be married just one time. And you know, some people might not look at that as a curse, but I look at it as a curse. I have preachers in my family that've been married more than one time, and you know, I was really hoping that I would be the one to break the curse, but unfortunately, that didn't happen.
Wow.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
This question can go for anybody. What does curse actually mean?
Now, Aaron, I know you got about 50 thesauruses around there.
No, I'm not even looking for it. That's why I asked you. I just wanted to know, like, what is some people's definition of curses, especially coming from the Bible or religion. Just, it doesn't even have to be Christian religion, any religion. Like,
well,
what are some of the...
It's right here, it says, evil misfortune that comes as if in response to retribution.
Which means?
Like, let's say, a payment of... A payment. It's almost like a revenge in a way.
It's like a consequence as well.
A consequence, yeah, like a consequence. Or it's one that says a prayer or invocation for harm or injury to come upon one.
Okay, would say that one. A prayer or injury.
A prayer or invocation for harm or injury to come upon one.
Okay, a prayer or invocation for harm to come.
We're going to search further. We're going to go a little deeper, but go ahead.
Okay, no. I mean, if anybody else has some more answers, I would like to know. The reason why I'm asking is because I want to get down to the source of curse, especially coming from a religious sense. I definitely want to, you know, I want us to come to some type of, you know, foundation first of curses.
Yes.
I know everybody talks about curses and everybody, you know.
Let's even speak from a voodoo place, like voodoo.
Mm-hmm.
Like like they put a curse on you, a misfortune,
a root.
You you know what I mean?
Okay.
A root, something that in no wise is considered good to you.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's something, it can, put it this way, it can be, I think the biggest thing that people do, if someone put a root on someone,
mm-hmm.
if someone puts a root on someone,
mm-hmm.
normally it's a reason. Rather, it's the person that puts the root on you, or you did something to someone else, and they went to someone that's able to do the curse to put on you. And that's not even just coming from, you know, a Christian point of view.
Yeah,
I've seen many movies Just like that movie, what was it called? What was that movie called about hell?
Pet Cemetery.
No, not Pet Cemetery.
Serpent and Rainbow.
This was.
Yeah, Serpent and Rainbow.
Serpent in the Rainbow.
Yeah.
And the one that just came out a couple years ago, when the girl, she took the lady's house from her. She was a gypsy lady, and
yeah,
the lady
I think
put
I know
a
what
curse
you're talking
on
about.
Her.
Yeah. I
and
think
then
so.
And like the rest of the movie, hell was after her.
Mm-hmm. Well, this I wanna. I know we can all give explanations of you know why people may put curses on you and the effects of curses, but I want to come down to the source of it. What actually is a curse? And I mean, I know you were reading some definitions. Does anybody have any more?
Yeah, I'm gonna have a few more in a minute because I'm
okay.
A few more in a minute.
Fine, Jay.
Say that again.
You must be online.
Oh yeah, I'm right here. I'm right here. Yeah,
that's the power of the internet. It's the source at your hand. Knowledge is at your hand, at your disposal.
You got to look.
Can I put a PSA disclaimer out?
Yes.
We do not support or believe in the occult. This is just for research purposes only. So please do not think that Dirty Church Radio supports or believes in any occult activities.
I know the devil. What you feel about him saying that, devil's advocate?
Him saying what? The the PSA notice?
Yes.
He didn't say anything concerning me, so I'm good.
Okay.
Let me see.
Now I'm gonna tell you. Now, even curse, it all depends on like how it's used.
Mm-hmm.
It's connected to the word hex,
mm-hmm.
which to practice witchcraft.
Okay.
And then you know, even in the Bible, I know Apostle Young know the scriptures like. Disobedience is as of the spirit of witchcraft. You know what scripture I'm talking about, Apostle Young?
Yeah, hold on, let me. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I'm gonna try to find it.
Yeah, I know that.
You know what I'm talking about, right, Aaron?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah. So. I guess curse, I mean, we're going to have to really, you know, trace that word back as far as possible, and that's what
mm-hmm.
we're doing right now. But you can talk in the meantime, you know what I'm saying? If you know.
Okay, well, the reason why I'm asking is because if I know we have a caller that comes on
Mr. Michigan.
Yeah, Mr. Michigan. And one thing that I've learned from him is to actually find the source of words to find the source of the reason, not necessarily the reason, but the source of a particular belief or a particular action or a particular, you know, thing. By doing that, you can actually find the intent and you can find the purpose behind it. And by doing that, you sometimes can find a better understanding of why and where it comes from. And why it is the way it is. So I think a good start for, especially dealing with this, even to help people, a lot of times, like I said, even though I don't necessarily accept the notion of spiritual curses, the fact still remains that whether someone calls it a spiritual curse or another person calls it a hex or somebody else calls it, you know, something that was inherited, by getting to the source of the problem, people can fix it if they choose to. You know what I mean? Just like our apostle was saying earlier, you know, he his family, he believed that his family's curse was getting divorced. So if he can come to a place where he can, you know, find out for himself and teach his kids, that curse, that particular source of negativity, then he may
he may be able to prevent it in the next generation of his family. You know what I'm saying? So I believe just getting to the source can possibly change the effect of future, you know, dilemmas in our lives.
Okay. Well, you know, like, say, I mean, curse.
I found the scripture, brother.
Go ahead.
It's 1 Samuel 15, chapter 23rd verse. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king.
Okay. Now, I wanted to say something with the word curse, since we're talking about the word, and we're going to go on a journey tonight with that word, curse, curses, whatever. Now, normally, if I call you names you know, it's a scripture that talks about, you know, death and life is in the power of the tongue, and
mm-hmm.
they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So, according to the scriptures, words are like seeds. It could be from a negative or positive. So, like, normally, if me and you, if I start cussing at you, right, and I'm calling you names, normally there's an intention behind why I'm saying I'm using those words, especially in anger. Right? Because it says, then number two, it says, a curse could be to call upon divine or supernatural power to send injury upon. So,
okay.
It's different. No, what I'm saying is, like right now, you ever hear, it's another scripture that was like, I think that was in Job, and I know Aaron, I know he read Job. Where mm-hmm. where the wife was like, you might as well curse God and die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you might as well. So
Joe was like, no.
Yeah, he was like, no. But like Apostle Young said earlier, that word, like curse, it has a consequence behind it. It's a reason behind it. But I believe the greatest curse, even when we talk about tithes in the Bible, and that's for a whole other topic, but even in with that scripture, it says, you shall be cursed with a curse. And when I look that up, it means that God will actually rain down accusations against you, meaning he speaks.
I'm sorry, go ahead, finish. I have a question after you finish.
Yeah, it means accusations against you. So now when you try to do, there is a word from God going against you that it won't bring prosperity towards you. So it's something that is keeping you from either being fruitful and prosperous in the
now,
earth realm. But it goes deeper than that.
My question is, I'm still staying on. I still want to know about the curses and the origin. But my question is, I know we've heard of African Americans, black people, actually being the descendants from Ham. Have you ever heard, or someone has told you, or you read something saying that? We were cursed through the curse of Ham. Have anybody ever heard that?
Yeah, I heard that, and it's crazy you said that. That's why I want to get my brother on the show. His book has all of that in it, The Brotherhood of All Mankind.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks all it. It goes into all of that. Yeah, I've heard that before.
Okay. And if anybody else has heard it, what do you guys think on it?
I got a question for you too, Aaron.
Okay.
I mean, after we do this one.
Okay.
We're talking about, like, Ham was, like, black, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Ham was, the, you know, he was black, so.
He was black.
People,
black. He was black, black. That Joker was like almost purple. Yeah, I mean, you gotta put emphasis on that. I mean, I ain't trying to be disrespectful or nothing, but
yeah,
he was dark. I mean, like bacon crisp dark.
Yeah, and it says since he was that color, I mean, you can even look in your dictionary and look in the encyclopedia of everything. When you hear the word black, it doesn't refer to anything good.
Yeah, that's what I was telling you before. Yeah, you're right.
Black,
you know,
ball,
what I'm saying?
Black male, black list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Like, it's all negative, that word.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So not only that, just imagine the generations growing up actually hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why even James Brown came out, you know, and said, "I'm black and I'm proud," because he said that, because to actually be black in America felt like a curse, because that color of your skin, it felt like, listen, you may have been born, you didn't do nothing wrong to anybody, you know what I'm saying? But just because the color of your skin and what it represented, you were treated bad.
And the
light,
the better the treatment.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So, yeah, so, you know, I mean, that's something, even when you talk about Willie Lynch, that's a curse.
Mm-hmm.
It was written to actually be a curse onto the black people, you know what I mean, with a formula to keep us in bondage and with a slave mentality.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And if you look at it, that was written in 1712. And it said if you do this, it'll last for 300 years. It's 2012. This will actually be that 300th year that the curse was supposed to last till.
Mm. Wow. That's deep.
You know what I'm saying? And if you look at it like this, like look at, and not to go off topic or anything, but just to make a point, I want to state that, look at how the black man in this country, after everything we've been through, and this is not a racist statement for any of the listeners out there, I'm just making a point. Look at how America is, what we've been through as a black people in this world. We're killing each other when all we accomplished and went through, it seemed like that should have made us come together.
And stay together.
And stay together. But something took place. It's something.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, not to interrupt you like that, but as far as being black, I don't think that color has anything to do with it, because you take, if you oppress any race, I don't care who you are.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, Bill. I'm just using an example of what can be looked at or perceived as a curse.
Okay.
And I'm just using black as an example. There are many people who have been oppressed in this nation. We understand that. And I'm not saying that anyone else's oppression is worse than the others, but I got to use somebody's. And I just chose to use the black as an example.
Well, Jay, let's keep it 100. What you're saying is still the truth, even concerning black race. And I'll tell you why.
True.
Because for the first time in history, all right, first time in history known to any, the first time, period, any black man in this country has accessed the highest office in this country, and that is the presidency of the United States. All right. Now, I'm going to say this. Some people might not agree with me. I really don't care, but, you know, I'm going to say it anyway. It's the crab syndrome curse that makes black people not support a black man that came into office to clean up another president's mess. Now, black people came together to get the man in office. Now, the black community is so divided right now until the white candidates is using that information to pretty much try to make it seem like we're going to be the ones that's going to cause Obama not to win the re-election. And the reason why that's happening is because of the Willie Lynch syndrome, we are so accustomed to seeing white people in charge to where we never really embraced the fact that Obama was the president because we're so accustomed to white people being in charge. And it's so bad now to where black people jumping off the Obama shit and jumping on the Romney shit. Now, I'm going to say this and I'm going to get off the subject. I'm not just voting for Obama because he's black, but I am voting for Obama because he's black. Now, that might confuse you. I'm voting for Obama not just because he's black, but because what he's trying to do for this country. So if you want to call that a double standard, hey, you can call it whatever you want. But I feel the reason why this man is going through a lot of the stuff that he's going through is because we as a people are still brainwashed by slave mentality. And we need to wake up and see that this is a curse that's been put on us that we had no control over. But you can wake up out of it. You can wake up out of it. The Bible says deliverance is the children's bread. All you got to do is eat it.
Well, how about this, coming from another angle? Since we all are talking about curses and, you know, the topic of African Americans has been coming up, is it possible that the religion that most black people accept, which is Christianity, that in part may be a curse to us, because that was the very thing that actually kept us in bondage, kept us enslaved, because it was from and by the slave owners. It was actually being taught that you are supposed to obey your master and the slave owner. The Bible does not condemn slavery. It actually condones it in a lot of ways, and that's why a lot of people, a lot of slave owners used it. And I'm just saying, is it possible that this, what a lot of people accept to be truth, can also be a way of bondage?
I just want to say something right there. Is it or could it possibly be?
That's all I'm asking. I'm not saying that it is true or isn't.
I believe that our ancestors that was enslaved, that was slaves, even my grandfather, my dad is like 78, almost 80, but my grandfather, he picked cotton. And I ain't even just talking about my great-great-grandfather. My grandfather picked cotton. You know what I mean? So I believe that Christianity, regardless of how people say how the slave master, how, you know, he allowed Christianity or he told you about Jesus or created that religion for the slaves to keep them bound, I believe that we may have been physically bound, but I believe that is the one thing that made them free within their mind to be able to survive in their spirit.
Yeah.
So I believe they were free in their spirit. That's why they was able. That's why they was able to sing a song about God and to sing. You know what I mean? Like to still have be able to laugh in the midst of the situation that they were in, seeing their husbands taken out of the house and beat in front of, and beat, totally stripped of his manhood in front of his family, but still in the midst of that, still was able to pray. And still able to give God praise. So I don't believe it made them a slave. They probably was a slave physically, according to their flesh, bound on a plantation. But within it, they had a freedom through the word. in accordance to their faith.
Can
I say something before you go to the, can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say this. You know, everything Jay said was good, but I'm gonna say this. Religion was used as a catalyst to justify slavery.
That's right.
Religion. First of all, this country was founded on that same religion. All right. What happened was, once we got emancipated, all right, religion then had to evolve to make itself appealing and acceptable to all men. In other words, to a certain degree, what Aaron is suggesting could appear that way, but that wasn't the purpose for religion. It was altered and used by man to justify slavery. All right, and also because we were not knowledgeable when we first came to this country against our will, they was able to keep us blind to the fact of the true nature of God. Because if we was the slaves was taught that we were just like animals, and slaves didn't have a right to even worship God, because we were considered animals, cattle. So, and until we was emancipated, and until we could start reading and reading the Bible for ourselves, that's when religion began to evolve. If religion would have never evolved, a lot of people would not have never embraced it. But religion had to evolve. So if I was to answer that question, I would say today's religion by no means is supporting your case. But the religion of slavery, yes, most definitely. It was used as a catalyst to keep us blind, to keep us under the control of the slave master. But the religion of today, no, I can't say that that's the case.
Well Apostle, can I ask you a question? I need to ask Apostle a question. And I heard what you just said clearly. Now, do you believe, let's say we know the intentions of the slave master or you know, how, if you want to say, they manipulate the scriptures so they can control the people and use it for their benefit. But do you believe that, do you think that he thought the slaves was going to find the freedom in God that they really found?
That's what they were teaching them. They were afraid of them uprising and forcefully taking their freedom.
Can I add something? I mean, what Apostle said in a sense was right to me. I agree with. He said that that religion and the belief of Christianity has evolved, and it much so has. And I believe that is. Christianity is one of the only religions that gets smarter and smarter and smarter and smarter. And from his standpoint, I would agree with him. I won't necessarily say he's right or wrong, but I actually would agree with him, where he said that they use Christianity as a catalyst to enslave. And is by no means could you say that they interpret the scriptures wrong, because, like I said, the Bible actually endorsed slavery. In that sense, what they were teaching, they probably as well thought it was right. But just like Apostle said, it has progressed. And people actually took something that was negative and turned it into something positive physically for the betterment of themselves physically and spiritually.
Now, see, I hear what you said. My whole thing is because my belief in God, That's my whole thing. I believe when it comes to the word, and I said this on one of the shows, when you even try to use it from an evil place or to produce your wicked agenda, even in the midst of that, I believe the individual that you're trying to do that to, God can free them even in the midst of your manipulation. Like when you're trying to use the word, the Bible speaks about the word will not return void. It's purpose. And I believe I don't believe anything can stop the purpose of the word of God.
I understand what you're saying. You're saying more so
spiritual.
The intent of the word spiritual actually free them in a spiritual sense. But in reality, it did not free them in a spiritual sense, because a lot of them, just like how birds have been caged for so long, even when someone opens up a cage, they still won't come out. And a lot of the slave mentality is just
that.
Well,
I could have gave you an offer right there. That'd preach right there. That one?
Well.
Yeah, that one. I like that one right there. That sounded odd.
And
I see that.
In a sense, spiritually, they were not free because they could not accept the freedom that they actually had but didn't know. But what I'm saying, from the slave mentality, you have to understand, a lot of them thought the word to be true and thought the word to be spiritually right. So when they taught the word, I'm not saying all, but I'm saying a lot, has probably said, because slavery was condoned in the Bible, they thought what they were doing was right. But as time progressed and as humanity progressed and people started to realize that, hey, these black people have feelings. These black people, I mean, you know, these people are real people. Then that's when I think Apostle, his point comes into play. It evolved and it became something that they actually used to flip it on the slave owners.
And I'm saying the same thing too. I'm saying the only reason why it evolved is because they survived spiritually.
No, but a lot of them didn't survive spiritually or
no,
physically.
But a lot,
because a lot of them
did.
Were broken. Yeah, but
yeah,
see,
but
you have to understand.
A lot of them, but what I'm saying is like this. Someone, even in the midst of that, received that word through the Spirit, and God revealed them things through the Spirit that man couldn't teach them. They might have couldn't give you the definition and write it out, but it was a wisdom and a feeling like unseen that the word gave to them.
And I understand what you mean, but you just, if you can for a second, just look at it from the aspect of a slave. Check this out. I'm a mom, I'm a father, right? I'm married back then, and my wife and myself are slaves. We have a child, correct? Our child is born into slavery with no decision making, no right to say, I don't want to be a slave. He was born into slavery. Then his children were born into slavery. Now, if you can say that these people that were born into slavery can see it in some kind of way as a relief spiritually, I believe, not for all, but to most of them, they seen that as being something that was totally negative. And if they had it, and if they could have changed it, they would. But they couldn't, because they were the bird in the cage that didn't come out. But it was a few of them that seen beyond that.
I hear exactly what you're saying. But what I think the word of God did to them was give them a hope. Even though they may have been in the cage, I believe as time went on, and that's how they was able to survive, to evolve, is that the faith of it gives you a hope that they couldn't actually see or stand on, but they, I believe, eventually they began to know what something within them had to be greater than what they was experiencing. That's what I'm saying.
And true. I would ask Miss I would ask Apostle or the other gentleman this question. Do you think that people who were in bondage, whether it was blacks, whether it was Jews or whomever, do you think that their hope wasn't necessarily in the physical sense? They said they were more so saying, well, I don't necessarily see us becoming free people. Some of them couldn't even see the word free, period, because it was way further beyond them. So they said, well, the only thing I really have to hope for is dying, because when I die, I'm going to get to heaven. Just like the master says, I don't have to worry about this life. All I have to do is be a good slave, and when I die, I'm going to meet the maker.
Well, I can answer that this way.
Mm-hmm.
Even when before Jesus came on the scene,
mm-hmm.
their hope was that the Messiah would come and get them out of the situation that they were in, even during the New Testament times. The Messiah came, all right? Jesus came. He died, he bled, died on the cross, and then he left. All right? But before he came, they was hoping for the Messiah. Then when the Messiah came and left, well, they were still hoping. So hope is just what it is. But reality speaks a whole lot louder than spirituality in a lot of cases.
Mm.
And what hope does, it pretty much puts a band-aid on the wound of your reality. It
mm-hmm.
helps you get through the fact that things might not change in your lifetime. All right? And that's basically what was going on with the slaves.
Mm.
That religion that they embraced, because you gotta remember, 90% of the slaves that was brought over here, they were Muslims. They followed the Muslim belief. So when they came over here, they had to lose their names, they lost their religion, they lost their identity, and they lost their culture to a degree. They remembered it for some of them remembered it, but they were not allowed to practice who they were. So when they came over here, they was taught what they call the white man's religion. And the white man's religion was, the white man's religion taught them that this is what they were. It wasn't going to get no better. So what you need to do is humble yourself, deal with what you're dealing with, and believe that it's going to be somewhere better for you to go when you die. All right. Until Christianity evolved, some of your greatest Bible scholars, even Dakes is one of the greatest Bible scholars that ever lived. He was a racist.
Mm.
So let's be realistic. The gospel that we preach today is totally different than the gospel that was preached during the times of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it's kind of hard to try to put a God stamp on this here when man took something that God said, twisted it around to make it say something that God never intended.
Mm.
And because we were not knowledgeable as we are today, that's why it lasted as long as it did. Because we came over here, we didn't know the English language, we didn't know anything. And that was all a part of their plan. As long as we can keep them ignorant, we can do whatever. And you know what? That'll preach too. As long as we can keep them ignorant, we can do whatever we want to do to them, say whatever we want to say to them, and because we are already empowered, we are already snatched their power from them, we can keep them in bondage because of their ignorance.
So,
and that's going on. That's actually going on in the church today.
So the curse then made it from there to now then.
All right, put it to you this way. It's been watered down through the generations, but
mm-hmm.
it's still there. And the only way you can get free from the curse is by asking God to reveal to you what the scriptures really say. Not with some white man taught down throughout the generations, but actually ask God what the scriptures is actually saying.
And
you want to get free. You want to get free from Willie Lynch. You want to get free from from the slave religion. You got to ask God to emancipate your mind.
And he's not just to let the listeners know. Our apostle is not talking about white people in general. He's talking about certain type of people with the mentality of ostracizing people. Just like the term nigger has meaning to it. The word white also has meaning to it, and he's using it in that sense, not as the race of people.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brother Aaron.
You're welcome.
But yeah, and I'm glad you said that, because guess what? We use that same mentality against ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We use that same mentality against ourselves. That's why I brought up the thing about President Obama. It should be no reason in the world that every black man alive should not be supporting this man as a candidate for the presidency. Stop believing, and this goes back to what I said. They believe anything a white man in power says because of the slave mind. They so used to a white man being in control to where when a white man comes up and say, oh, President Obama did this, it's President Obama's fault why we $16 trillion in debt. It's President Obama's fault for this. It's President Obama's fault for that. And what that does, it rekindles the flame for the slave mind. Because you got a white man standing up saying that the reason why this country is in the shape that it's in is because the black man that's in office. But to be technically correct, the black man is cleaning up what the white man left for him to clean up.
I have a question. Is it possible that curses can make you or allow you to be ignorant to truth?
Yes. I'm going to say yes. Somebody else might say no, but I'm going to say yes.
How about you, Jay?
Can curses make you be ignorant?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe that it definitely can, because I believe even right now you have a lot of people in our world that are raising their children. And we may be raising our children a certain way and not even taking notice that we're raising our children inside of a cursed mentality.
Mm.
And I believe that those are ways to help pass those things down too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
Like welfare.
Mm.
I know a family right now that got three generations of welfare recipients. Three generations. If that's not a generational curse, I don't know what is.
I have another question.
You got a grandmother, a mother, and a daughter. All three got families on welfare. That's a curse, my friend.
I have another question.
And that curse right there has three generations of folks in ignorance.
Yeah, that is crazy. The question that I have may be a little bit more controversial, especially because it's dealing with God per se. Does anyone know or believe or does God curse people?
You said, does God curse people?
Yes.
Let me find it.
Hold up. Hold up.
Yes, he does, my friend.
Numbers 14 and 18.
Okay.
The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon children unto the third and fourth generations.
All right. So my question then comes to this. Since you were giving me definition of curses, and you said, you know, bringing harm to someone, bringing hex to someone, bringing evil upon someone. With that being said,
when I said hex, though, I wasn't coming from
Christian. Hex is just another word for curse. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Now, so.
But you gotta understand, though, when you say that, though, like there are different people who practice. Who practice stuff and they use those words.
Yeah, but hex is the same thing as curse. It's just basically using it. It's basically another language, but it's still the same word and the same effect.
But
the only reason why you don't want to attach hex to curse because hex has witchcraft attached to it, and you don't want to put something that God is attached to witchcraft. But
because it's different.
No.
Listen to what I'm saying.
The reason why I say it is because the definition that you've given carried all of these things, all of these traits.
We gave you a
evil
definition. We gave you the word. We gave you the definition, like from the Bible. But then you got to understand, we talked about voodoo. We talked about different ones. So you can't just say that. It's from God doesn't go around with dials in your hand sticking
pins
to someone.
I'm not
so what I'm saying,
that.
So you have to make it. You got to make it clear, like what you
listen. Listen.
You're saying,
All I'm saying is your definition of curses applied to the same definition of hex, just used in a different context. With that being said, when you refer to curses, you refer to someone putting evil or harm on you or somebody related to you with bad intent. And you just read a scripture that says God does put curses because you agree with it. I'm asking, so you are saying that God does cause harm and cause evil to people? And that's a question. It's not a statement.
You said, does God cause harm? God repays for the
iniquity. Oh, wait a minute. Let me answer that with Jay. All right. First of all, whenever you start talking about God cursing,
mm-hmm.
it's always a reason why he's doing what he's doing. People could put a hex on you with no reason. But when God put a curse on somebody, it's because of it's payment or a penalty.
Okay, now before you continue, I want you to keep your thought and I want you to keep going. But earlier, Jay actually said people put curses on people because they had a reason to do so. Now
some people get curses put on them for no reason at all.
That don't mean, but listen, the thing about it, though, right,
mm-hmm.
God doesn't, it's not up to you to take the position of God to put a curse on someone. And that's where the evil comes into that. That's where the evil comes in. God is God.
I'm
going to read this right here. It said, this is Numbers 32 and 13. It mm-hmm. says, and the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, man can't take the position because another man did something wrong.
Yes, he can, and men do it all the time. What do you?
Yeah.
That's totally irrelevant to what we're talking about.
No. This is what I'm saying.
That's
judging and man judging is two different things.
Yeah, you say that because that's what you believe, and that's totally understandable. I mean, I definitely can understand that.
Well, all you're saying is what somebody else. But I mean, you're saying right now, like the point that you're making is just something that you believe. I'm saying I'm coming from
I'm asking you because when you say curse, when someone says curse, in the definition that you've just given, you basically said that curse means somebody bringing evil on someone else.
Well,
okay,
listen.
Hold on.
I'm gonna answer that.
Okay.
You asked me that question. I want to hear the meaning of curse from your angle because you never really you always ask from the Bible. Like, give me your definition of curse too. Add it to the pot too.
Don't get
your
amped up, bro.
Can I answer that question after I finish mine, or
yeah,
do you want me to answer it now?
I do want to hear that. I want to hear your definition of curse too.
Alright,
okay.
Don't get amped up, bro.
Who, me?
I'm getting amped.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't.
No,
I ain't
talking to you, Aaron. I'm talking to Jay.
Okay.
Yeah, I know he was talking to me. I know that. I'm getting amped.
Nah. We don't supposed to do that on the air now, remember? Alright, my job is to keep the peace.
Hold up, but I ain't gonna kick nobody off the show.
No,
I mean?
I ain't kick nobody off. I'm gonna defend my brother today.
I defend
my brother today.
Hey, do what you gotta do.
Yep.
No,
I will.
I'm just what I was saying earlier was basically the definitions that you've given. I would agree. I can't necessarily disagree because you were actually reading it from thesauruses and dictionaries and commentaries that all make sense to me. I mean, that's what I would understand a curse to be. Bringing evil upon someone because someone has either harmed you or basically you're doing it for someone else who has been harmed and they don't necessarily have the power to do it. So they find somebody who has the power to, you know, to put hex on people and stuff like that, and to put harm on someone or to bring evil upon someone or strife or bad luck or whatever you want to call it. In that sense, and in that, I don't know if you heard me, but I did answer your question. I agreed with you. But in that sense, I asked you, does God curse people? And you said yes. And I'm saying, well, then, in that respect, God does bring evil on someone. God does put people in harm's way. And God does put people in situations where they didn't necessarily do something. But I guess maybe their father or maybe their father's father did something. In that respect, I was just asking you, coming from your religion and the definition that you have given me, now you're kind of drawing back from it and saying basically, God can do it because God is God, and man can't do it because man is man. Well, man does do it, man has done it, and man will probably continue to do it. But I'm saying, does it mean that it's right for God to do it and man not to do it?
Okay, I don't know if you recall, but when Minister Jay asked me about generational curses,
mm-hmm.
I talked about Adam. You remember
mm-hmm.
talking about Adam?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. If Adam wouldn't have never listened to his wife and partook of the forbidden fruit,
mm-hmm.
God wouldn't have never had cause to curse Adam and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question, if God curses you, it's because of something that you have done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you start saying, when you start questioning whether God is right or wrong, that's almost.
No,
almost
you can say it's blasphemy.
Yeah, I ain't want to say that,
yeah,
but it's bordering on blasphemy. And you know that when you, that's a touchy thing there, because I dare not say on this line tonight. Now somebody else might have the street terminology says cojones to question the serenity or the sovereignty of God, but I won't do that. All I know is God gave a rule, the rule was broke. So there had to be a penalty for the broken rule. The penalty for the broken rule was that Adam and Eve was cursed.
Yeah, and I'm not, everything that you're saying, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. The Bible says so. So I mean, and that's, I agree with you. I was just basically asking the question: does God bring evil and harm on someone? And
no,
the answer
God
is
don't
yes.
bring evil and harm on no one. The penalties of a person's actions is what brings penalty and harm.
Okay. Well, in that sense, if a man puts a hex on someone, a man puts a curse on someone or brings harm to someone, it was because the person did something to them, which, and their actions made this man or made this woman put a curse on them as well. It's basically the same thing, correct?
Right, exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
In most cases.
Yes, you're right, in most cases.
In most cases, because some people get hexes put on them without a probable cause.
Probably from envy.
Let's say 99.7% of the time, it's because of an action that somebody has done to somebody else. All right, which warns them or, in their mind, justifies them to retaliate. So how do they retaliate? They retaliate by going to the soothsayers, the witches, the warlocks, and have them conjure up a curse or a hex to put on them.
So, and with that being said, they're basically justified by doing that because somebody has wronged them. So
right.
They're justified by putting hex and harm on someone.
Right.
Okay.
You're saying they're justified? No, I'm not saying they're justified. In their mind, they feel that they're justified.
Just like a person that kills their kid. If they feel like God told them to kill them, in their mind, they're justified because God told them to do it. Whether God said it or not is still up to be debated. Because that goes on belief. If they believe God said it, we could say God didn't say it until Jesus come back. But in their mind, they gonna believe that God said it.
All right. That's all. I got my answer. Yes.
I got a question for Mr. Advocate. Do you believe you escaped a curse?
Do I believe I escaped a curse from who? A person or God? Man or God?
No, religion.
Do I believe that I escaped a curse from the religious? No, because I don't necessarily believe in curses in the way that you see it. Because if you are asking me,
well,
do
give
I
me
believe...
a word. Replace.
No,
curse
no, 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 no.
And give
no, no,
me
no,
the word.
Not... I mean, I actually can say curse, but but where you're coming from, like was a spirit taken away from me because was a spirit taken away from me because I don't necessarily accept the traditional religious views. I would say no, because I don't necessarily believe in the coalition between the spirit and the curse. Well, I don't accept the coalition between the spirit and the curse. But from a mental standpoint and from a state of mind, yes, I do believe that a curse has been lifted off.
Well, do you believe that some churches are cursed?
I'm
from a mental state of mind, yes, I do. I do believe that a lot of churches are cursed from a mental state of mind. We actually talked about it earlier. When slave owners use scriptures to teach and preach to their congregation and to slaves, if that ever was the case, when the slaves used to sit in the back of the church at times, I do believe that they were being mentally cursed. They were being mentally bondaged. And where there are churches that actually that may condone certain things that may be harmful to people, like the Ku Klux Klan, they preach segregation. They preach hate. In that respect, I do believe that, yes, they are putting a mental incompetence on their saints and on their followers. Mm-hmm.
All right. When you was coming up in your days through religion, church, or however you want to call it, whatever word mm-hmm. you want to use, what would you say was the thing that had you shackled down the most, looking back at it now from your mental view? Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm thinking.
Oh.
I really, really, really want to think about it. I really want to know if there was anything in particular. Condemning people.
So when you were in that religion or in that faith, or whatever word is the correct mm-hmm. word to describe it, you were a condemner.
Yes, to some degree, yes, I was. I had to be.
So would you say, are you the same extremist now when you were in that what you are now?
No,
is it the same intensity?
Mm-mm, not at all.
So you was more intense in what you came out from.
Yes, and I believe that our what I've learned from our brother Nico last night is to have is balance, and I do believe that I'm balanced. I believe you actually have a saying that you say all the time that I love. You say that I spit out the bones and eat the meat, and I believe that's what I do.
Okay. Let me ask you this, Apostle. What is the pardonable sin?
Blasphemy.
Mm-hmm.
And self-murder.
Blasphemy. So blasphemy. Not just blasphemy.
It's an echo.
It's the Holy Spirit.
No.
I don't know where the echo's coming from, but it's a huge
Someone got
echo.
An echo on, like they got the radio thing turned up or something.
It's not me, is it?
It
no,
might
not
have been.
Me. No, it's off now. It's off now. Go ahead.
Okay.
Finish saying what you were saying.
It says, well, I guess I would say, yeah, because the Holy Spirit is still God because they're all one.
Yeah, and doesn't the scripture say something about to denounce the Holy Spirit as blasphemy and there is no forgiveness of that?
That's what that means.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know, I think the scripture, it says something. I think you can even blaspheme against Christ.
No, I thought it said the Holy Spirit.
I think it said if you blaspheme against me, that could. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, that's what's not.
I don't know. I can't necessarily say because I don't have the scripture in front of me, so I can't.
But either way, whether it's God, whether it's the Son, or the Holy Spirit, they're all God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still blasphemy.
All right.
Can I ask you a question coming from a Christian point of view? Do you think or believe that the history of women and how they were viewed in our society, and not even in our society, but societies in past, do you believe that the reason why they were viewed the way they were viewed even today is because of the sin of Eve?
Well, I'm going to say yes. Is it right? No, because technically, and I did a series on this, technically, Eve really didn't do anything. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the mandate was never given to Eve. When God gave the mandate to Adam, Eve wasn't even created yet. So there was no way that she was going to be able to keep a mandate that was never given to her.
So
that's why the serpent went to her, because the serpent knew she didn't know.
So are you saying that it was unfair for God to curse her?
No, I'm not saying it was unfair for God to curse her.
Okay.
She got cursed because of what she did.
Mm-hmm.
All right, just like Adam got cursed. But if you read the scriptures, their eyes didn't become open until Adam bit the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because the mandate was given to man, not to woman.
But she was still personally cursed.
She was cursed because of what she did.
But the law wasn't necessarily given to her. It was given to her husband.
Yeah, but they are now the same flesh, right?
Mm-hmm.
She came out of Adam. Even though their eyes didn't become open until Adam bit the fruit, she still was a partaker of the crime. That's
okay.
Just like somebody that hops in a car with somebody and they don't know the car is stolen, but when they get pulled over, they all going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
So just because she was ignorant to what the mandate was, don't mean she shouldn't have been penalized.
Makes sense to me.
All right.
She
was penalized because of her involvement. And so a lot of times we could be involved with something unaware that is something wrong, especially if you don't get all the information, but you still was involved.
I have another question. Do you think prayer, people not knowing how to pray or praying wrong or do you believe that can fall under a curse as well?
Yes, because the Bible says you prayed, but you prayed amiss. That means you was off the mark. You was praying, but you wasn't praying correctly. I'm gonna have to find that scripture. It says you prayed, but you prayed amiss, meaning you missed the mark.
Okay.
So if you praying and you, first of all, the Bible says, and I'm paraphrasing, if you praying and don't believe what you even saying, you should just stop praying anyway. Because the Bible says you must first believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. But
okay.
You got to first believe that he's God. Just like you got to first believe that when you start praying, that God, first of all, hearing your prayer, and he has the capability to answer your prayer.
Mm.
So if you don't believe that, you already praying amiss. You praying amiss because you don't even first believe the words that's coming out of your mouth.
I'm with that too. All right, I have another question.
I never asked you my question.
Oh yeah, you haven't.
And the reason why I'm asking, because I know you study cultures and different. Where did the terminology curse word come from?
I actually don't know.
What is the curse
word? I actually never did the study of the origin of curse words. I don't know where it came from. Actually, I may briefly have read something before, and I think it was in the I don't know.
That's just a colloquialism.
In the year 1000 AD, in that time, I believe the actual origins of curse words came about. I think around like 1050, but like I said, I'm not sure. Don't call me to it. You know, don't hold it as truth, because I'm kind of guessing, remembering. You know, not necessarily. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask, because that always puzzled me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is a curse word. What's the difference between a curse word and profanity?
Well, I think both of them are the same in the sense that a curse word bringing harm, or you are saying words to neglect, to hurt, to abuse, or to use in a condescending way. Is the term curse word, and I guess another word for that is profanity, because people actually started using those curse words as normal language that didn't necessarily refer to anyone being cursed or being downed or being ostracized in any type of way or you know, showing them any type of neglect. But
should nigger be considered a curse word?
Well, like I said, it depends on how you use it. It still may be a curse word. No. It still may be profanity, but it's not used as a cursed word.
Well, you know, it's in the Bible.
What?
Nigger.
Jay.
That's Niger.
I have a question. This question might be a little bit deep. You guys might like this question. Can anybody? Is there always a way or an escape to get out of the curse? Is there a way for everyone to come from out a curse? Is there always an escape?
I'm gonna answer that by saying, when you're speaking of God,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say yes, because his way of escape for the curse of Adam was his son, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
All right. When he told Abraham to kill his son, which was a form of a curse, he told him not to hurt the young man. Look in the thicket. There's a lamb prepared for you in the thicket.
Mm-hmm.
Which was symbolic of the lamb. The lamb is symbolic of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So when you're talking as far as the attributes of God and curses,
mm-hmm.
there's always a way of escape, and that way of escape is usually through the aisles of repentance.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Through repentance comes the way of escape. Now, I'm going to stop there because somebody else might have something to say. But I'm going to say yes, and I just gave my examples.
How about you, Jay?
I'm looking for this one scripture. I'll have it in 1 second, but you can continue to
Well, no, I mean, I wanted to ask you.
No, I'm going to answer it. I just don't want it to be silent while I'm like.
Is Bill on the line?
No, Bill left on this line. It says, hold up. No, that's not it. That's not it yet.
Now, don't forget, we want some callers to call in.
Yeah,
we still got time for some callers to call in. If you're listening and you got something you want to add to the conversation, feel free to call.
Mm-hmm.
This is Dirty Church Radio.
I'm waiting for Jay to come with his answer. I would like to know where he stands on is there hope for anyone that exists, whoever existed, going to exist. Can there be hope for one?
Yes, there's always hope.
Okay.
God is a God of hope, so he ain't gonna leave us hopeless.
Like he is the hope of glory. Like he is the hope. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, yeah. I'm with you. I'm definitely with you.
Hold on a second. Boy, I'm gonna tell you though, I am such a great reader of tune. Well, I know the melodies of it, man. I'm telling you.
That was slick in some kind of way. I can't read that yet, but he said that. He said that with intent behind that.
Oh yeah. He's slicker than a can of oil.
That definitely was some intention behind that one. Well,
I gotta learn how to be that smooth.
Yeah, right. Well, my follow up question would be, do we think, now I'm not coming from a Bible standpoint. This is just something that, you know, you can kind of answer straight off of what you think, or, you know,
general purpose question.
Yeah. Do you think that somewhere down the line, that if Satan acts to repent, or he asks for repentance, do you think that God will forgive him one day if he ever sincerely asks for it? Satan was like, yo, listen, man, God, you know,
my mind.
Yeah, like, yo, I messed up, you know, all this time I was doing all this, and I know who you are. And, you know, I'm basically like the prodigal son. God, I just want to come back home. I really just want to come. And I really mean that. And I turned over a new leaf. I'm not the same, you know, individual that I was eons and eons. You know what I'm saying? I'm really changed, and I really see my fault. And I just want to get back under your presence.
Well, I believe like this. When it comes to man and Satan,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to a snake and man, a snake is always a snake. This is just my opinion. I'm not giving you any books or any dictionaries or anything like
that.
That's
what I say, yeah, this is something that you necessarily can't back up with scripture. I was just asking hypothetically.
I believe that Satan's fate has already been sealed because God spoke the word. He already created hell for him. The word already been spoken. And I believe to actually be one who was in a position to cover the throne of God, and to fall from that place,
mm-hmm.
I believe it's no coming back from that.
Gotcha.
Okay. I just don't believe it's no coming back from that. And I don't believe that Satan will change, because a snake will always have the potential or to bite you.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you ever trust a snake? Because a snake, if it's almost like this, if someone got a gun to your head, you will become an Oscar performing actor to try to get out of that situation if you could.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the devil is a master at the art of manipulation and control of his expressions. if I can say. Very convincing. It says that he can appear like an angel of light. So he's gifted with impersonation. He can be very cunning. So I believe that his fate is sealed.
Okay.
Just like our flesh is. It's already judged, going back to the dust.
Gotcha. Well, except for some people, because there was some people that, you know, just ascended to heaven. Yeah.
But
so.
Then when you read that, those two people still have to come and
die.
Yeah, even though they have to come back and die, they still ascended and their bodies still went with them. Now I don't know
miraculously. It's different, but they didn't inherit the kingdom of God. That's the difference. They ascended, but they didn't inherit the kingdom just because they ascended.
Okay.
It says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom, meaning you cannot be there for eternity. Like that's not the flesh can't live there eternity. But that's a whole nother
that was they were referring to Enoch and Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just to come back to where we were before, about Christianity and African Americans and slavery. I just read something, and it actually said that.
We have a guest caller too.
Oh,
we do have a guest caller. I'm gonna let them on real quick.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Caller?
Yes. Good night. Hello.
How you doing?
Hello.
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm good. I'm enjoying the show, your program. I'm just kind of wanted to find out, you know, why you call it the dirty church. And do you do have the devil's advocate? Is there someone on there, or that's just you just use that heading?
No. Yeah, no, listen. The devil advocate is a role that our brother Aaron, he plays on the show to go with the opposing side to speak for people who may believe something different,
to actually elaborate more on my role as a devil's advocate. This is more so a Christian based show, but we actually welcome all types of faith, all types of religions, all types of experiences. But my job on the show, my character on the show is to take the opposing side of the majority of how, you know, we would view, you know what I'm saying, the discussion and conversation. So that's why my name is what it is. And the reason why it's called Dirty Church is because we actually use it as a metaphor to say that this is a church where we are the dirt, and you can actually bring your seeds, your ideas. You could bring all of these things here, where nothing is too dirty for you to express here, because our job is basically to tell you that this can be the platform where you can speak anything and everything.
About Dirty Church Radio, Church was formed even before the actual radio show. I'm Minister Miller. And
you're Minister Miller.
Yeah, I'm Minister Miller, Jay Miller, and I created the Dirty Church, the whole concept of it. And the reason why I did that is because I believe that we were made by dirt. God made us with his hands. We were made by dirt. But he chose to put the church inside of this dirt. The dirt is the actual vehicle, this flesh that we carry around.
Yes.
But the church is on the inside. So I am a dirty church. That's how I look at it. So that's the whole concept of it.
Okay. All right. I got you. I got you. Honestly.
How long have you been listening to the show?
It's my first time, to be truthful, tune in tonight. You know, I was not aware of Dirty Church.
Mm-hmm. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Orlando.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
when
you're so
on, when are you on? What on the
well,
nights like
normally
Thursday
the rest night? Of this, yeah, normally the rest of this, the rest of this month, we normally come on 10 o'clock nightly. Normally we rest on some Saturdays, but normally we'd be on here like
Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday and Sunday nights.
Uh huh. This is interesting. So you are a minister, or a real
yes.
minister?
Yes,
and,
I am a real minister.
And what about Brother
yeah,
Aaron? Is your brother a brother?
Yes, I'm a brother, and we actually have an actual apostle online as well.
Yes, he's Apostle Louis Young. He's on there.
I like your blog. That's very nice. Okay, that's very nice. Okay,
well, you know
well,
what? Down there in Atlanta, we hope that
yeah.
you can even
no,
spread
Orlando.
The
Orlando.
Orlando,
Orlando.
Uh-huh.
Orlando.
Okay, if you can
uh-huh.
spread the word about Dirty Church Radio, so we can get some listeners down in Orlando.
Okay, I'll do that. All right.
Would you like to make a comment on the topic on the floor tonight?
No, I'm listening and I'm trying to gather what you all are saying and I can relate, but tonight I'm kind of like a little. I just want to lay back a little bit and listen, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, we
thank you.
But next
yeah,
time, I will be joining in, okay? Thank
okay,
you.
Thank
did
you,
you,
so
you enjoy what you heard so far?
Huh?
Did you enjoy what you heard so far?
Yeah, I enjoy. You know what? It's kind of funny, but it's reality to that also, you know?
We try
Amen.
To keep it entertaining.
Yeah, it's nice. I like that. Mm-hmm. Amen. All right.
Thank you so
Good
much.
Night. Yeah, Good I'm going to listen online. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. To go back to what I was saying, I wanted to actually go back to the Christianity and the slaves. I actually did, I read something a little time ago, and Apostle said that the religion that a lot of slaves came over here with was Muslim, and that's actually correct. So for anybody who was questioning that, that's actually correct. Also, there were some that actually did practice voodoo, and voodoo isn't necessarily always something negative. It wasn't something that was always viewed as negative. Voodoo actually is it's something positive as well, and some people use it in a condescending and negative way. There are some witch doctors that actually use what we would call or what they would call black magic, so they would use it in that way. But voodoo is also used in good ways too.
So you would call that white magic?
I wouldn't call it white magic, but
okay,
I didn't
that's what
see
they
it.
Call it, though, right?
Okay. Well, no. I mean, you actually could be right. I'm not necessarily sure. I'm not sure, but that would be kind of crazy if the bad magic was called black magic and the good magic was called white magic.
Yeah, I mean,
but then again, that comes back to that whole black and white thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you can't escape it. Yo, listen, right now live on the air, we got 6 minutes left. And I just wanted to give a brief thing about our topic on tomorrow. Our topic tomorrow is kind of, it sounds crazy, but the angle we coming from with it is going to be bug. It's called Praise, Sex, and Drugs.
Oh,
are you addicted? Topic tomorrow night at 10 p.m. I hope all the listeners will tune in tomorrow. The topic is Praise, Sex, and Drugs. Are you addicted? And in church, we find that, for whatever faith you are, a lot of times we hide those deep hidden secrets about ourselves behind our praise in church. Or we try to cover up all of those things we don't want no one to know about, and we hide it behind the Bible. We hide it behind our perception that we give off in church, and we never deal with those struggles or strongholds that may be in our lives. Apostle, I think it's just me and you left on the air live right now.
Okay.
So, Apostle, on that just being said, because I know how your mind works when you, not exactly how your mind works, but I know when you hear something, it completely opens up a whole bunch of other stuff. So in just hearing that, praise, sex, and drugs, are you addicted? How many things would you say people are hiding behind in church when they go in church? How many hidden addictions that we don't know about because the praise
covers it?
Yes, it's covering it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
But it only covers it for those few hours.
I mean, then you got to deal with it when you walk out the door.
You have to deal with it the next day or the rest of the week. Mm-hmm. And you go on living like that year after year, month after month, week after week, and you never get totally delivered of that addiction because you keep sedating it or compressing it like a Tylenol or Advil with praise, which everyone has the right to do if you're breathing.
Right. But I'm going to share something with you. And I started looking for the scripture as you was talking when the Bible talks about the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting down to the marrow, cutting going in and cutting coming out.
Uh-huh.
And what that means, I'm kind of paraphrasing because I couldn't find the scripture. But it's the word of God, Minister Jay. It's the word of God that's going to reveal to you what's wrong with you. It's not your dance. It's not your praise. But it's the word of God. The word of God is what reveals to you the hidden things or the hidden matters of your heart. And
mm-hmm.
the reason why a lot of people praising God, they actually going through the motions of praising a God that they really don't even know. But what in our culture, we're so emotional, and our emotions is what put the Band-Aid on the issue. When we come to church, we get an emotional fix. That's what I call it. It's an emotional fix to help ease or soothe the pain of the sins that we commit throughout the week. And it gives us a false sense of justification that only lasts for the moments that we're in the motions of praise. But then when the service is over and you walk out of that door, you got to walk right back into the aisles of defeat. You walk away from it long enough to come in the service to get your fix. But then when you walk out, the high is gone. Then you have to deal with the issues that your praise can't handle. And that's when having a word life, being able to open up this Bible and find some scriptures that relate to whatever your issue is, that's how you begin to walk into the doors of your deliverance. It's through the word of God.
God. Well, right there, Apostle Young, I just want to say to all the listeners out there who've been listening, we hope you enjoyed this part of the live version. But you know, we normally go into a little version, a bonus round section. And tonight, it will be probably just me and Apostle Young on that part, just for a few minutes after the show. you'll be able to hear that when you listen to the archives of this message. But we want to say to all of y'all out there, we pray you keep tuning into Dirty Church Radio, and we pray that it be a blessing to your life. We pray that you spread the message about Dirty Church Radio. We love you. God bless you. Good night. Tune in tomorrow at 10 p.m. Apostle Young, we are now off the air.
The bonus round.
This is the bonus round. Our brother Aaron, the Devil's Advocate Bradley, he's off the line with us right now, but it's just me and you here on the line. And I just wanted to say a little something, man, about this Dirty Church Radio thing. I really feel that God is going to take us into some areas that we've never even been in before. I believe that we're going to even deal with some things that is going to actually challenge us. But the challenge will take us on a different level of existence in this life. And I don't think that being on the air in some way may look at this as, oh, that's something small, it's minute, y'all not doing nothing big, anybody can do it. But I do believe God has his hands on this.
Oh, he does.
I believe he has his hands on this, and I believe God is going to use this as an instrument to plant, to hearken, so people can actually hear his voice in a way they haven't heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
Where it can touch them in a place that they're not normally used to being touched at. Where it will make individuals, including ourselves, deal with issues that we normally would avoid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I believe that that's good for us as men of God, and it's good for the listeners, because to get to certain places, to get to certain levels on a mountain, it's not easy. You're going to feel some pain. You're going to feel some struggle. And some of these conversations will become a struggle. Some of these conversations that's going to take place on here may feel a little painful, because we may be talking about a subject, but we may be reading the pages of our lives or some of the listeners' lives.
Yes.
And when we do that, that is something what God will use, like you just said, to search the intents of the heart.
Yes, yes.
And I believe that Dirty Church Radio, God is going to use it as a tunnel to get into the hearts of mankind. Not just them hearing a preach message, but so God can tap into their hearts to deal with that skeleton that's in the closet. Or that's been in the family history for 150 years.
Mm-hmm.
Those things that have been part of our family's history that we don't even know about. But we can get an answer from someone else that calls in and talks about the same thing. And now it gives us something to connect to, because we may have been feeling like we're the only one going through this by ourselves, because no one is talking and being honest about what they're experiencing in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Dirty Church Radio is here, man, to take the position to be the soil for the seeds of thoughts. And the only reason why we're going to be able to handle it is because God's hand is on it. Because normally the problem is people are putting seeds in places that God's hand is not on, and it makes the situation worser. than it was before they even shared that information.
Yep.
Because a lot of people will use your secrets and your heartfelt issues to manipulate you and use it against you for their agenda. But on here, Dirty Church Radio, the whole goal is for you to get free. Because normally we'll never see any of your faces out there. We'll probably never even meet you one-on-one. But when you think about it, you'll say that that radio show had enough heart to talk about things that I've been running from. But I can get in my bathroom, I can be in my home, I can be in my car by myself and shed the tears and cry and be able to share this with some brothers that's on the air that understand that we all have struggles and issues, and they're willing to put it as a topic on the show so I can get some insight, so I can get free from this thing that's been holding me for a very long time.
Yes. That's wonderful, man. Wonderful. You just summed up the purpose and the vision of this, of Dirty Church Radio. That's the whole reason why this radio show is in existence. Because of everything you just said. And you know, it might seem like we're having a real good time most times when we're on here, and we are. But to us, it's still ministry. You know, it's ministry that ushers people to their own personal deliverances. And you know, a lot of people might not wanna stick that moniker on there, but I truly believe that there's going to be thousands and thousands of people, man, that we might never see, but they'll be able to testify, man, it was because of that radio show, man. They gave me so much insight. I was able to stop doing some of the things that I knew was wrong because I listened to that radio show, and they gave me some sound insight on how I can really be free from what I was dealing with.
Wow.
At the end of the day, that's what it's all about, man.
Yeah,
it ain't about who's right, who's wrong.
And who's wrong.
It's about helping somebody get to their freedom, man.
For real.
So they're not bound by the things that got them bound. They could be free from them. I don't care what it is, man. I don't care what you bound by. I believe that something that's going to be said on this radio station can help usher you down the aisles straight to your freedom.
Yes. I truly believe that. I truly believe that. I believe, man, that, wow. Sometimes, man, some people, they just need a bridge to cross over.
That's all. I help.
They need
hand.
A bridge.
Yep, that's it.
And someone to go over the bridge with them, because you got some people who are scared of bridges.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
You got a bridge.
And I'm talking about
And
people, and look at that spiritually. There are many bridges that people need to cross, but the fear of the bridge
keeps them from going.
So they stay stuck on one side, never able to cross over to their promises.
Yep.
Never able to cross over to their freedoms. Never able to cross over to love because they're standing on the side of hate. But but it's a bridge that can take them to love.
Yep.
And see, I think life is about bridges, man. We got to get from one place to the next. And I believe what's under the bridge is the confusions of life, the fears of life. All those things that are under the bridge, the fear of falling into it. But we believe, man, on the pillars of God, that the bridge will always stand. You just have to be willing and have enough heart to cross over.
I believe the bridge is the word of God.
That's right.
That,
yes, it is.
could view the word of God as a bridge. And if you start reading it, it's like, as you read the word of God, it's like you can almost imagine as you're reading it, you can envision piece by piece your bridge being built right before your eyes.
With every step.
With every step.
Wow.
It's being built. It's like the bridge is walking out of the pages of the Bible and being manifested right in your life as you're reading it.
And you know something that's so crazy also about the word is that the word is a mirror also too.
Yes, it is.
And it shows you your blemishes. It shows you the things you need to correct. It shows you the ugliness of your life.
Yep.
But you know what's so crazy about man? It's not until he walks away from the mirror of the word that he begins to think that he looks good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why a lot of people avoid the word of God, because when they read the word of God, really it becomes a mirror
and they see them
to
there.
What they're not.
Yep.
So they'd rather stay away from the mirror and believe that they look a certain way.
Yep.
Because the word of God make you face realness.
Yep.
It make you face who you really are, whether you want to believe it or not.
It'll make you take the mask off.
Yes, it will.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you won't take the mask off is when you walk away from it, because you want to continue to believe that you look good.
Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof.
That's right.
That's right. That scripture means.
Yeah, man.
You rather deal with the image of the false image of yourself instead of seeing the real you.
Dealing with the false image of yourself.
The false image.
Listen, it is a false image, right? Because God made us in his image. And anytime you look at yourself like you're not made in the image of God, now you are perceiving yourself as a false image.
Yep. Exactly.
Because God didn't make you to think of yourself the way you think of yourself. He made you to create you to think of yourself the way he created you.
Yep. Exactly. Valid.
So,
very good point.
Yeah. So anything that goes against what he created you in, whatever image he created you in, when you go against that image, you become false.
False.
You become fake.
Phony.
You become unreal.
Yep.
It's almost like, yo, we only exist because of God's perception of us.
Mm-hmm.
So when we lose the perception of God of us, we really cease to exist.
Yep. I like that. And that's when you really start living beneath your benefits.
Yes.
Or living beneath your privileges. Because
that's right.
Your true self is your most powerful self.
That's right.
When you believe in the false image, that false image has no power. Because it's false.
Wow.
Anything that is a false image, just like your shadow is a false image of yourself. It's you, but it's an image of you. That shadow has no power, even though that shadow is an image of you.
But that shadow has
no power. None at all.
And you know what's so crazy? You can't even see a shadow without light.
Nope.
So you really, the shadows ain't even never, listen, the shadow will never, ever be exposed until we get there.
Yep.
When you have light in you and you walk into a dark place, that's what reveals the shadow.
Yep.
If everything is dark, you don't see a shadow.
A shadow can't exist in the darkness.
It can only exist when there is evil. And all you need is a little glimpse of light. And a shadow must expose itself.
Exactly.
And that's what the word is.
And the shadow is the image of Satan.
That's right.
Satan has no power except for the power that we give him.
Wow.
That's why the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee. If he was as powerful as people try to make him think, could we really resist him?
Wow.
That's
something
deep. To think about.
Yeah, it really is.
That's just like saying resist the shadow, and eventually it's going to flee. Because the sun's going to go down sooner or later. And the shadow loses its power once the sun goes down. The shadow ceases to exist when this power source is gone.
Wow. You know something, man? I'm going to tell you, right? Lou, like all this week, I've been home. You know, I've been with my daughters, and I've been home, and, you know, reading, you know, studying and looking, you know, actually just searching within myself. Because I feel myself evolving.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I feel myself evolving, but I feel the evolving taking place for a purpose. It's a purpose. And I think we really need to get to the point of, listen, the way this world is, and according to our faith, I believe, man, we better really truly get connected to the God that we call the God Almighty and truly trust in him like never before, because if you haven't got to the point where you can just, if you ain't trusting God and you still worrying about, you know, your rent, or you worrying about this person talking to you and that person talking to you and that person don't like you and this person said that, if you still caught up in that, what are you going to do when
it really gets
bad?
You
go outside and people's heads are getting chopped off, and people, famine hits the land, and we're stuck. I mean, all types of stuff that we enjoy the pleasures in this world now. We ain't got many pleasures. Everything is convenient, comfortable, and things like that. But where are you going to be when your faith is truly challenged? If it gets to that point, if God, if you're here to actually see that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When your faith is really challenged.
It's time
like
to
really,
elevate.
Really
faith,
challenged.
Man. It's time to elevate. And what you're saying is, man, it's time for everybody's faith to stretch now, man. Because if you don't stretch your faith, start stretching your faith now. When it gets to the if you happen to be unfortunate enough to be here and don't get caught up in the rapture, you listen. You want to, first of all, God forbid that you do get left behind. I'm not planning on, but if you do, you're going to go through. And if you can't trust God now, you'll be one of the first ones taking the mark of the beast. You ain't going to be able to hack it.
And listen, and if everyone would truly be honest with yourselves and be honest, we're talking about honest, we know what we do when no one is watching. We know what we're thinking when no one is watching. We know who we really are. Right now, everyone that's maybe listening or who's going to listen to this, I just want you to ask yourself, if God was to truly come right now, are you ready?
Good question.
Like, are you really ready? Or are you saying you're ready because you want to believe that you're ready? Because you don't want to not be ready. But does your life line up to the readiness? Like, does it really, does, like, do you really line up? You may go to church, you may be preaching, like, you may be, you know, feeding the hungry, visiting those in bondage, in prison, you know, visiting the sick. And you may be doing a lot of things. You may wear a suit and a tie and look sharp on Sundays and look great and know how to talk the talk. And you may tell people you love them, but you may love just certain people. But you act like you love certain other people because you can't act like you love them because that you don't love them because that exposes how you really feel. So you're putting on a front like you're loving people, but you're really not loving them. You're only saying you love them because the Bible says that you're supposed to. But you know how you really feel. I'm talking about you.
Mm-hmm.
That person. I'm talking about me. With my struggles, the things I go with. Am I really living my life? I know, yes, I believe that he rose and that he died. I believe in eternal life, but listen, will God say to me, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Will God speak those words over your life? Those things that we need to really be concerning ourselves with.
That's right.
God looking at us as faithful and good and as a servant.
Wow. Wow.
That, well, I mean, done, thy good and faithful servant. So I heard three words that was real important there. Faith, good, servant.
That's right.
Are you walking in those three callings or assignments? Is that the umbrella that's over your life right now? Faithful, good, servant. And I believe we need to honestly answer that question. And whatever the answer is, either you need to continue to be that or work on trying to get there.
Yes.
And before we end the call, Apostle Young, I'm going to let you close this show out tonight, man. I'm going to say I love everyone that's been listening to the radio station, and I pray that you just keep spreading the word about Dirty Church Radio, and I thank God for you all.
Well, I'm end the show by saying this here. We're born, we live, and then we die. When God calls our name, we die. And I think the most important thing that we need to remember is it's what you do in between being born and when you die. A great man of God that's a true inspiration to me in my life is by the name of Apostle D.C. Thomas. He preached a sermon, and it was at a funeral. And he said, what you do in the dash. What you do in the dash is going to really determine where you go after your life is over with. But in the dash, you're not, while you're living in your dash, to be honest with you, you really should be living for someone else to see God in your life. Because for most people, the only Bible that they're going to ever read is watching your life. So when you get saved, you get filled with the Holy Ghost, and you're working out your soul salvation, keep that in mind, that you should be saved to save somebody else. Life, living this life and living the life of a Christian should be more than just you making sure you make it in.
But it should be to make sure that not only that you make it in, but you make sure somebody else makes it in too. And if we as Christians can show that kind of love and concern for your fellow man, this world would be a whole lot better place to live. If we could show that kind of love and that kind of concern, it's not always about shoving something down somebody's throat, because the Bible says, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. You don't know just by speaking a word of love and kindness to somebody that you don't even know. You don't know what you could be saving that person from, even in their own way of thinking, at that very exact moment. That person that you just be walking down the street and just happen to say, God bless you, brother. I want you to know God loves you, and I love you too. You might not never see that person again, but imagine this. Imagine you walking past that person and the Holy Ghost tell you to show some love and kindness to that person, and you neglect to do it. And you go throughout your daily occupation, then you go home, and after you get off work, turn on the news, and then it's a picture of that same person that you walked past, but now that person is dead. How would you feel? Would it come back to your mind that the Holy Ghost told me to say something to that person and I didn't do it? Do you not know that if that person died in their sins and you didn't do what the Holy Ghost led you to do, that person's blood is going to be required to your hands?
Wow.
This is serious. We got to start taking the mandate of God more seriously. We got to get to the place, just like Minister Miller was saying, we got to get to the place where we start exercising our faith, stretching our faith even the more, because a time is coming where if you don't have faith in God, have faith in the fact that God sent his word, that he will be your provider in the time of famine. What are you going to do when the famine comes? That's why you need to study. You need to know these scriptures, because there's a time coming where all Bibles are going to be taken. You're not going to be able to, you're not going to have access to the word of God like you do now. But if you don't have the word hidden in your heart, you're going to be lost. Perilous times. We're in perilous times now, but far greater perilous times are coming. Far, far greater perilous times are coming. What you gonna do when gas is $6 a gallon? We're, believe it or not, we're not far from that. What are you gonna do when cars can't function because we don't have gas? What are you gonna do when you go to the store and the dollars that you have in your pocket are now worthless? What are you gonna do? Who are you gonna call in? For those that serve money as if it's your God, what are you going to do when the money that you serve can no longer serve you?
Wow.
What are you going to do? That's going to be the time that you're going to call on God. And what if he laughs at your calamity? That's in the Bible. He says he's going to laugh at some folks' calamity, because when you could call on him, when he was near, you didn't. Now he's far from you. Now you need him. I'd rather have God have access to him and never have to ask him for nothing than to need him and can't find him. Perilous times are on their way. And it's now while you can, seek him while he's near, while he's near you, seek him while he can be found. Seek him while he's near you. Seek him while you're hearing these words, while you're have the capabilities to tune into Dirty Church Radio and get a solid word, a word that will compel you to want to have a relationship with God. Do it now while you can turn the internet on and hear Dirty Church Radio. Because there's a day coming, it might be years down the road, but a day going to come when you're going to go to turn your internet on to hear Dirty Church Radio to get a word. We're not going to be on the air. No gospel, nothing with a Christian basis will be on the air. What you going to do? These times are coming. The Bible says, in time of peace, prepare for war. These are the times now where you need to start stacking up your prayers. Stacking up your prayers. Sending up prayers to God. Asking God to protect you when times, if you happen to be here, when it gets real bad. Start sending them up. But the guarantee is, if you live right and live honorable before God, you won't have to deal with it. That's the joy. That's the joy that believers have, that if we live right and don't miss the mark, we won't have to worry about famine. We won't have to worry about wars and rumors of wars. We won't have to worry about the mark of the beast. We don't have to worry about the Antichrist. The Antichrist had to worry about us because we judge him. We judge him. We war against him. My prayer tonight for everybody that's listening is that you receive the words that came out of Minister Miller's mouth. You receive the words that are coming out of my mouth. And my prayer is that you let these seeds be planted in good ground, not stony ground, but good ground, so that they can go down and then they can be rooted and germinate and bring forth fruit and bring forth fruit that remain. Fruit beget fruit. Fruit begets fruit. My prayer is that you have received something, any something that was said on tonight. I hope and pray that it's some man, some woman, some boy, some girl that's listening to this broadcast on tonight, and something that was said will compel you to even consider Christ to be your Savior. And if you're listening, I'm going to ask, just put your hands near the computer and just repeat these words after me. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I haven't done things that has been pleasing in your sight. I'm asking you now, God, first of all, God, to forgive me. I repent for all my sins. I repent for all my unrighteousness. Cast my sins and my unrighteousness into your sea of forgetfulness, never to be brought up on my behalf again. And now, Lord, I'm asking you to come into my heart, cleanse me from my unrighteousness, and be my Savior. I accept you now as my personal Savior, knowing that you're going to help me turn my back from all my wickedness. If you prayed that prayer on tonight, I want you to just repeat after me, from this night forward, I am saved. No longer will I, with the help of God, commit any of the past sins that I did prior to this prayer. You're saved now. And I say to you, welcome into the family. Welcome. Now, if you repeated that prayer with me, what you need to do now, since you now you're saved, you need to find you a church that preaches the unadulterated word of God. So that now in your journey, you can cultivate the seeds that have been planted so that the seeds can turn into fruit and then your fruit can remain. God bless you.
God bless everyone.
This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio, along with our co-host, Apostle Louis Young. God bless. Stay tuned for more to come. Join us tomorrow night at 10 p.m. as we discuss praise, sex, and drugs. Are you addicted? God bless you all.